Infamous Indy presents The Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Malillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions of whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Digging Up Dillinger. I'm your host, Joe Malillo, Todd Hiles, Stuart Fillmore, and of course, the family member, the blood of John Dillinger, Travis Thompson. What's up, guys?
What's happening?
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
We're back together. We get together as fast as we can all the time. You know, when we're free. Luckily, we're free tonight again. Yes. To bring you a special episode about John Dillinger. As we always do, there's always going to be something new that comes out when we discuss this stuff, and we're getting it down on the video for you. But one of the best movies of all time, gangster movies of all time, one of the best portrayals of a gangster of all time, biased opinion here, by far, we're very biased on this, but Johnny Depp playing John Dillinger in the movie Public Enemies was a huge hit. It was Michael Mann. Was it Michael Mann?
Yes, Michael Mann.
Yep.
In 2009.
Yep, in 2009. Killer movie. Awesome. Really great storytelling. Very entertaining from a Hollywood perspective. But did they do a good job from a historical perspective? And that's what we're here to talk about today. I think we've been doing – I've watched it a few times. Travis, you said you watched it 300.
Yeah, probably 300 plus, yeah.
And Stuart, you've seen it a bunch.
Oh, man, yeah, absolutely.
Tom, have you ever seen Public Enemies?
Yes, I saw that. And my quick question, Stuart, do you know offhand, did they use any FBI agents as technical on the set saying things or no?
No, you know, the movie was based on a book by the same name, Public Enemies, by Brian Burroughs, I believe, was the author. And Burroughs spent years studying the files, the FBI files on Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd and all those gangsters of that era. And, man, he went in depth on it. So I'm not sure they necessarily needed a technical advisor because Burroughs' work had covered so much of it.
Well, I want to know a lot because, one, it would be really cool to be a part of this movie.
Oh, yes, it would.
Even the first 10 minutes, I took notes on historical accuracies or inaccuracies that were portrayed. But, you know, we have somebody on the podcast that kind of knows a little bit about Johnny Depp, specifically Travis. You're like best friends with the dude.
I wish.
No, but you guys, I mean, you've had interactions with Johnny Depp before, but you've got some inside stories here. So let's start out with some inside stories from you. I think that's a good way to go today.
Okay. Well, 2 years ago in October, Johnny Depp people reached out to my dad and invited us to go down to Nashville, Indiana to watch his rock concert with Jeff Beck. And we went down there, and while we're during the show, we get taken backstage, and I've got great photos and great videos of that interaction. And standing on the same stage with them and watching them do their craft, especially Jeff Beck, it was awesome. Seeing Johnny Depp. And afterwards, he invited us back to his little area and sit us down. He was excited to meet with us. And he remembered a lot about the movie, and he talked about being a Dillinger fan himself. He grew up in Kentucky, so he knew a lot of the Dillinger stories. And I hope I'm not speaking out of school here at all, but I have a lot of, you know, I really like Johnny Depp a lot, and he was talking about him and Michael Mann's interactions, about timeline, about how Michael Mann wanted all the characters to have a Chicago accent. And Johnny Depp kept pushing and pushing and pushing about, hey, I'm from the Midwest, they should not sound like Chicago. John would not sound have a Chicago accent. It'd be yep. more like my great grandfather's.
Yep.
Right.
And they kind of, I guess, didn't see eye to eye. But I guess Johnny Depp got his way. He didn't have that Chicago accent in the movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about, I mean, there's even, there's a one that he even brought it up when he was on David Letterman, which David Letterman is from Indianapolis. During that interview, during when around 2009 when the movie came out, he talked about the timeline was kind of messed up. But when we were in his like room talking to him, he's like, he had to do this movie. He's a huge fan of John's. And also my grandmother said that of all the movies that had ever came out, he portrayed him the best, not by just how he looked on screen, but personality and stuff like that. The one thing that I did, I wish that he would never have said, I didn't tell Johnny Depp that to his face, was that one scene with Billy Fichette where he said, my father beat me because he didn't know how to raise me. That is very inaccurate. My grandmother talked about how kind my great-grandfather was. So I wish that part wasn't in the movie. But, you know, Johnny loved, absolutely loved playing this part. He said of all the movies, this is one of his favorite characters and favorite movies he played. Even though the timeline and the accuracy was off, he only focused on his betrayal of John. And hey, you know, I'll take that all day. You know, he couldn't control the rest of the movie, but he can control his character. And I think he, from listening to grandma's stories about John, I think he portrayed him very well.
That's great to hear, Jim. That's great to hear, Travis, John, Johnny.
Well, you know, that also, that brings another thing. When the movie came out, I actually got to watch that movie with my grandmother and my father in the theater in Plainfield, Indiana. And I tell you what, it was really rough to sit and watch, even though if I don't believe it's really him in the ground or not, that death scene was very, very hard to watch. And it still is. I usually skip that part.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something I wouldn't expect from you.
Why?
Just being honest. I just feel like you wouldn't get emotional about it as much as you're saying you do.
Well, it's different because I'm looking at my grandmother's stories, that that's her brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little different when you're watching a family member getting killed on TV.
Sure.
Yes.
So it's
that's an experience not many of us have.
Right.
It's a little rough. It is. I don't watch it. I'd usually skip over that part. That's one reason why it would be hard for me to go biograph. Even though my feelings are, I believe they got the wrong guy. It's still hard just listen to my grandmother's stories about him, because it was more human. It was more connected. Like, I don't feel like I didn't know him. I feel like I really knew him by living through my grandmother's stories.
Yeah.
Oh man. Thanks for sharing that, Travis.
Yeah, Travis. Good story, dude.
Can I add one quick thing there that maybe Travis forgot that I think to me is really, really cool about the Johnny Depp
backstage? You don't get to talk this episode. You talk
about the backstage story is after that, Travis actually sent me a picture of that, of he and Mike with Johnny Depp. And in talking to them later at some other point, they pointed out that Jeff Beck had taken the picture.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did.
Yeah. You know, I think Jeff Beck passed away actually not too long after that, right? Yeah. So, man, not only is it super cool to have, you know, you and your dad be in a picture with Johnny Depp, but then you have Jeff Beck taking the picture. So
that's right.
That's really cool.
I got the, and me and my, well, I got to, dad sat there, and we got to drink a beer with Johnny Depp. He offered if we wanted to have a beer. I was like, I'm not passing that up. I'm going to take. What was great is we're sitting there talking like a normal person. Like, it's just us talking, right? He's very, probably the nicest guy with that big of persona you can imagine. He's very down to earth.
What do you talk about with Johnny Depp?
We talked about everything from cars to John Dillinger, about when his mother seen when we were all down in Kentucky at a play about John. And while we're talking, Jeff Beck comes in the room and he's laughing and stuff. And Johnny Depp introduces us to him. And he's like, oh, the gangster from the 30s, and acts like he's shooting two Thompson machine guns in the sky. And he was talking about 1934 cars. It was pretty funny. It was really neat that short time we got to be with. Yeah, but I didn't get an autograph from Johnny Depp. Completely forgot about it. Didn't get an autograph from Jeff Beck. Completely forgot about it. And I was just enjoying the moment of talking to him. And sharing that moment with my dad was absolutely great.
Yeah, that's got to be really special. I'm really glad you didn't get it autographed, because it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
No, like, it doesn't.
I think the impact, the autograph on your life was way, way more impactful. And I have these pictures up. I think it's pretty cool. These pictures of Johnny Depp, John Dillinger, Billy Frichette, Pretty Boy Floyd. I love little known fact. Pretty Boy Floyd is not very much in the movie. Like, he's like in the first 10 minutes. He gets shot and killed in the orchard and by Melvin Purvis, right? And it's played by Channing Tatum. What's his name? Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Which is,
well, I can tell perfect. I can tell you right off the bat that is historically inaccurate, because Pretty Boy Floyd was killed by Melvin Purvis, or at least by a posse led by Melvin Purvis, but it was after Dillinger was killed. It was Dillinger was killed in July of 34, and Pretty Boy Floyd was killed in October of 34 in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now, another thing.
Was it in an orchard?
It was. Oh. Well, it was in a field. I'm not sure it was an orchard necessarily like you see in the movie. But then again, the field where we found the map back in the day was an orchard. And we know that from aerial photos at the time. So I don't know if maybe they just did an orchard because in the movie, the way they shoot it, I think Pretty Boy Floyd's kind of darting in and out of the rows of the orchard, makes it more dramatic. In the 73 Dillinger movie with where Warren Oates played Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd is just in an open field when he's killed.
And Public Enemy.
And again, the 73 Dillinger is also inaccurate, because they make it seem like that they got Pretty Boy Floyd before they got Dillinger.
And Public Enemy was the term that the FBI gave them. And Dillinger was the first person to be given that, Public Enemy.
Yeah. Public Enemy number one. Yeah.
And then after that, the Public Enemy became Pretty Boy Floyd.
And then Babyface in November.
Right.
When he was killed.
The second and third were Pretty Boy and Babyface of Public Enemy number one.
And right. And Joe, ask Stuart who number four was.
Who's number four?
Todd knows, but I think it's Alvin Karpis, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And that's and he is number four, and that actually he's arrested by Director Hoover himself.
He's arrested by J. Edgar Hoover.
Finally?
And let's actually put that arrest in quotation marks.
Once the scene was clear and safe, then he walked up and said, Elvin, you're under arrest.
Before I forget this, I got to show how human Johnny Depp is and how much he must feel for John Dillinger. And this part is when my grandmother passed away, he sent a dozen white roses to her funeral.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I think Johnny Depp is the real deal. I think, he's a, yes, he is a megastar. He's been a movie star for a long time. But just in hearing Mike and Travis and their interactions with him, he just seems like a, really just a down-to-earth guy that, has had great success in life.
Yes.
Yeah, he's one of the coolest actors around, too, on top of it. I mean, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I mean, the pirate movies. Him and what he does for little kids when he goes into hospitals dressed as Jack Sparrow. I mean, some of the coolest things ever. I love when actors do that.
I liked it when he played Whitey Bulger. That was he got to play John Dillinger, and then he got to play Whitey Bulger.
And he didn't even look like Johnny Depp when he played Bulger.
No.
Yeah, no. No, this is good. So behind the scenes aspects of Travis, we're going to go into something because it's here. We're on this subject.
Okay.
Johnny Depp, did he ever meet your grandma?
No. Unfortunately, when they were filming the movie and he came to Mooresville, and I'm not going to mention any names, but unfortunately, he was led to believe that she had passed away. And
someone who we won't mention the name led Johnny Depp to believe that your grandma was dead.
Yeah. And they didn't even live where Johnny Depp was in Mooresville meeting somebody that I will not name. He was less than 5 minutes from my grandmother.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty shitty. Got to say that.
Yeah. Especially when we care about the actual history, not making money like everyone else wants to say we are, that we have not made a cent off this. You know, we've spent more money than we've made. To have someone hound that. If Johnny Depp could have met, and that's one thing he brought up, that he wished and that he could have met her in person. Because there have been so many questions that he would like to have asked. And I would have absolutely loved to hear her answers. It's an injustice to everybody because that's history that is gone. Either she could have talked about something that none of the family's ever heard about because it was Johnny Depp and she felt she could open up more. I know talking to her, she regretted that she didn't get the meeting. She wanted to meet him.
Sorry that happened, dude.
But yeah.
Here we are. Keeping on your grandma's legacy. Man, we talk about her a lot, so in the story. So, but you know, Johnny Depp was good enough to send those flowers and also be a part of John Dillinger history himself. So he was such a, you know, artifacts wise, right? Aren't there things that he took?
There's things that he acquired.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I feel like I would want everything if I was him.
You got to think during that time, my grandmother was still alive, so we did not find out everything until after. I mean, we're still finding new stuff because we've got piles upon piles of Dillinger artifacts that we're still going through it, and we find stuff like a baseball glove, like a letter, you know.
John Dillinger's baseball glove. That's insane.
Yeah, so there's things that we are uncovering as we go that we didn't have while she was alive that she kept, you know, close to, and I completely understand that. I mean, that was her family, her very, her father, mother, her brother, her sisters. This is something they lived through, and I understand why she kept it so close. Like, we had guns, you know, stuff like that. But letters are a little personal, a little bit more personal. Like the money that John gave her in April before he died. Like, we still have that. Stuff like that was kept, you know, kind of close to her, and I understand that.
You're killing it, Travis. I think this is a great episode. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Travis, you wrote that paper with your grandmother when you were interviewing her in high school. Yeah. Did you share that paper with Johnny Depp?
I did not. I did not share that paper. Joe got to see not the written report, but he got to see the picture report that I put together. Me and my partner, Tammy Poole, they had a raffle of who can be partnered up with me because it's going to be pretty much an A+.
A++.
Yeah,
but we heard like 18 podcasts ago. We've heard about this report that you wrote in school, but we haven't seen it.
I know. I've got it. I've took pictures. You have it.
Yeah, remember? I got a whole video of you.
Did he really get an A+ on it? That's all I want.
I don't know, dude. It was garbage. It was a terrible report.
Tammy did all the work. Tammy did all the work.
Now, I will tell you what Tammy did put together. She put together the pages with all the pictures on it and labeled it. I typed the whole report, but the report, Dad has it. He just didn't pull it out. He always keeps the pictures part.
Yeah, it's like a book of it's like a construction book of pictures that that Travis had, and he was like going through it. I'm like, this report is garbage, dude. This is
when I was a freshman in Mooresville High School and doing Indiana history. Yeah, that was great fun with Stan Emerson was my teacher. And now I'll tell you what, talking about Stan Emerson, he's still alive. And he says he has recordings from witnesses to John's supposed death and people who believe that he didn't die. And I need to get a hold of him to see if he found them.
Oh, man. Yeah. We got to get him on.
Travis, that's your number one thing you need to do this
week. Sorry.
Holy, we're jogging the memory here, but you know,
I've got too many nuggets. I got too many.
Now we're gonna have to go back and take that teacher's name out because there's gonna be 5,000 people calling him now.
No. He wouldn't do it with me.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be ignoring. Nobody can find him. Travis has got him. Yeah. Any more nuggets from the movie aspect of Public Enemies? Because I do have his Letterman appearance. We can just watch that.
I will tell you one thing. The one thing that has bothered me about all the Dillinger movies. Is he never comes home. They never put him at the farm actually doing all the poses. Like, that's true. One thing. And I tell you what, one thing Johnny Depp said, he would have liked to have done it. He would have loved to have recreated that moment.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That was an important part of the family, of the reunion. And it's right out in front of the house, too.
Yeah, it's one of the most historic pictures of John. So yeah. I don't know why we don't recreate that.
While he's being surveilled by the FBI.
Right, which are right across. They literally were right across the street.
Things haven't changed yet.
It got cut from the movie. They probably shot it, but they just are like, it's not. It doesn't move the story forward in any way.
I tell you what, Johnny Depp, I mean, we talked about it. It was not even thought about. It wasn't even brought up.
Wow.
God, man. If anybody knows Johnny Depp out there... I'm always asking our viewers, like, or listeners.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny's like a loyal listener to the podcast.
I hope so.
We talk about you all the time, bro. Come on.
Yeah, come on, man.
And I'm going to tell you right now, you did an incredible job on that trial in Amber Heard. She's a fucking crazy person.
Yeah.
Totally on your side, bro.
Absolutely.
Like, that chick was nuts. So,
yep.
But we love you. And, you know, no disrespect, just in general, you know. She was crazy. All right. Can you guys hear this if I play this? Ready?
Let's talk about.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to listen to it. Okay. It's Johnny Depp talking about Public Enemies on Letterman.
Let's talk about the movie. Now, John Dillinger and I, both from Indiana.
Yeah, that's right.
And I, too, started out in a life of crime.
There you go.
But then got into TV. What do you know about John Dillinger that makes him sympathetic, that you liked about this guy? Because now, historically, as we look back on a guy, he robbed banks and killed people.
Well, he didn't technically kill people. He might have fired weapons at them. But we don't know that he killed them.
I see. So it's just that little loophole where...
You know what I mean? I tend to look at Dillinger as not an enemy of the public. I think that he was the common man who took matters into his own hands under the circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, 1933, when the banks were enemy,
and everybody out of work, nothing to eat, everybody was poor.
Exactly.
And in fact, is it true that some of the money that he took from the banks he gave back to the people that had deposited money in those banks?
He did. He definitely did. Wouldn't take a working man's money. He wanted the bank's money. He wouldn't take a farmer's or
And the story, it's of course got the classic hero tragic flaw ending. Everybody knows how the story ends out. He's gunned down, and there's a love affair with it. But was it fun to make this movie?
It was exhausting, but yeah, it was fun.
Exhausting, really?
It was exhausting. Sure.
In what sense? More so than the pirate movies?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a lot of months and a lot of hours and a lot of locations, mm-hmm. So moving around a lot. But it was a real pleasure because Michael Mann had arranged for us to be able to shoot in, for example, in the Crown Point jail, mm-hmm. where he escaped. I escaped exactly the way he did, through those doors.
With the phony gun and stuff.
Wooden pistol, yeah.
That's cool.
Yes.
That's freaking awesome.
And that's how he talked to us backstage. I mean, that's kind of how he talked. That's how his interaction is. That's pretty much how his interaction with us, without no cameras on him.
Yeah.
Little Bohemia, the shootout was done in Dillinger's room. I was firing through the exact
window. So that was actually in Wisconsin. That scene is exactly where it took place in real life. Yeah, well, that's fascinating stuff. And then also, it looks to me like this film, a lot of it is done handheld camera. Is that correct?
Yeah, tons of handheld, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, have you done much of those kind of films before?
No, not really. I mean, I guess because they were doing it in HD, they had the luxury of handheld
HD.
You know, all the time. There's light cameras, very light. And,
HD.
You know what I really enjoyed? Maybe that's the wrong thing to say.
Probably not.
The shootouts.
Yeah.
And you know, in movies today, they're 90% chase scenes and shootouts. But these shootouts, you really get your money's worth in terms of muzzle flash.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I know you haven't seen it.
I think that should be one of those things they put at the top of the poster.
Yeah, you get your money, get your muzzle flash dollar out of this. And Christian Bale is in the film as well?
Yeah, he's wonderful, yeah. Christian Bale, Marion Cotillard, and Billy Crudup, a great cast.
Yeah, great cast. And it's one of those things where you know the guy's got it coming. There may be some ambiguity there, but when it ends, you're sad to see him go.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, how can you feel that way about a criminal? I mean, but you can, really, don't you?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is. I tell you what, let's look at a clip, but we have to do a thing, and then we'll be right back here to take a look at a clip from Public Enemies.
That's fun.
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you this, Travis. Did you guys ever mention to him that you found that 1934 road map?
We did. We talked a little bit about the map, and he was actually very interested in that, and also about the theory, that the imposter theory. He was very interested in both aspects of that.
Did you see how Johnny Depp made his number fives?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he's a method actor, man. He would want to get all those details, you know, correct.
Definitely.
Did he sign all his letters Johnny D then too, or no?
I forget how he signed, because he's written two letters to the family, and I forget how he signs it at the end. But absolutely wonderful time. I would love to meet him again. I would love to have him part of this project. I know he's busy all the time, but
he's not busy.
But just to have him involved in this, or just to talk to him about it, what he thought about it or thinks about where we're, you know, our direction that we're going.
Yeah, talk about our podcast blowing up. Johnny D joins the John Dillinger podcast crew. To talk about, to be clear, that is a goal of the podcast, is get Johnny Depp on it. Again, free. It hey, is. Johnny, do you
it
mind
would,
just?
I mean, it would be a great honor. A great honor to meet me. So,
like you know, hey Johnny, get on the other. I got Google Meet. Do you Google Meet? Do you have Gmail? What's your Gmail account, Johnny Depp? Cool.
He's got to hear Travis's. Class paper too. That's what it is.
Oh Lord, I don't know if I'd want to. I don't know if I want to read all that on air here. But,
there were no words. It was just pictures, guys. So we're fine.
I just had to show up.
Got an A plus.
It was real funny doing that report, because there was, you know, in the actual newspaper, there was a racial slur, and I had to block it out to put it in part of my report. Because the teacher's like, oh no, we can't have that. And I was gonna bring guns in to school to show them some of the Dillinger guns, and the school had an absolute fit because we're gonna have them all escorted in, and you know, we're gonna have the police escorted in with my dad, and you know, it's gonna be under you know watch, but it was decided not to, let's not do that at all.
Yeah, especially today's world. Back then, back in the '60s, you went to high school there?
Yeah, no, I was a freshman in 1999.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think I was still in middle school at that point. Listen, anything else we can add to this kind of this Johnny Depp discussion? Kind of tidbits. I mean, I got nothing. I've never met the dude, so other than watching him on TV.
I will say the one another inaccuracy in the movie that I did talk about was when John gets arrested in Tucson, Arizona, and he's in the jail cell, and Melvin Purvis comes in to do a face-to-face. That never happened. They never, ever met, ever.
That did not happen. That was purely for the drama of the movie.
Well, I think we'll save a little bit of that as a tease for work. I think we should do a full dive into the episodes because, I mean, right away in the first 10 minutes, like, what's his name? He's the architect of the bank robbery that John used. He looked to him, right? He taught him it's like a German name. What's the guy's name again?
Oh, it's Baron Lamb.
Yeah. Baron Lamb and then Walter Dietrich, right?
Yeah.
Walter doesn't in the movie, like Walter dies right away.
Well, the movie opens with the escape from the penitentiary in
Michigan City.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, that happened. Dillinger helped, break those guys out. And those were people. Harry Pierpont was one of those. And that Pierpont in some ways was kind of Dillinger's mentor. They met in prison, and Pierpont was older, more experienced. I think Dillinger somewhat kind of looked up to him, although by some accounts, Pierpont was a very unstable individual. But for whatever reason, Dillinger kind of had that personality, I think, where he got along with a wide range of people because there's some accounts that he was actually scared of Babyface Nelson. I think most people were because Nelson,
yes,
talk about an unstable individual. But Dillinger seemed to be able to kind of bridge the gap between, different personalities. I mean, between people.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I feel like that's a whole nother episode we'll save for a couple weeks here and kind of do history. Got it right. Hollywood got it wrong.
Yeah.
And see if we can do that. Kind of break it down.
Joe, if you want to share the viewers, I just texted a picture to the group of me and Johnny Depp together that night.
All right. Let me get it. Email it to me. When we're live on it, when we're live recording, you have email it to
me. He's holding it up.
Email that one.
I don't know if it's won't come into focus there, but
oh, there it is. There it is. It's in focus.
You got it?
Yeah, okay, there we go. Yeah, that'll work.
Such boomers. Just look at my phone here. Look at my flip phone out.
My talking black box.
Just in case people don't believe, people. It was so funny. We're sitting in the audience, and we had started talking to people around us, and we're like, "Oh, Johnny Depp invited." They're like, "Why are you here?" And we're like, "Oh, Johnny Depp invited us." They're like, "Oh yeah, whatever." People are like, "No, we're talking." We're like, "No, we're nephew and great nephew of John Dillinger." We're standing there and like we're waiting, and we get a text. Dad gets a text that, "Hey, one of Johnny's people is going to come get us." Like, what kind of area we're sitting in? And so, like, it gets to Johnny Depp has been on stage for, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes doing his thing. And we look over to our left, and there's a guy going, "Come on, hey, you two, come here. And so, and everyone's like looking at us, like, maybe they're not lying. And we had VIP like passes, and that was great. It's funny because like we were walking, they're like, "Oh, follow me." Well, they take us back through the front and then out the side entrance to the parking lot. I'm like, "Dad, I think they're just leading us away."
They're escorting us out. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we went in and we went into the backstage and all that stuff. Also, before we met Johnny Depp, we got to hang out with Jeff Beck's drummer backstage and a whole bunch of other people that were there to hang out with Jeff Beck. So we were all talking, and it was weird. We were the only people there for Johnny Depp. Everyone else was for Jeff Beck.
Okay. Huh.
Who's Jeff Beck? Just kidding. So listen, here's the deal. I think also it's crazy that Johnny would think of you guys that way, right? We're you know,
yeah.
Clearly there's a connection outside of him playing your great uncle. I feel like you and your dad, him and your dad kind of connected.
So, yeah.
Before we go, because there's one last thing I want to cover here, and it's kind of at the end of this episode, as Stuart's looking at me like, I'm like, what the hell is this guy going to do? listen, there's some people, I mean, when we do stuff like this, there's going to be some negative things. There's some people that are reaching out and telling us that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. That, you know, we're ruffling some feathers or riling people up, and that we need to stop, and that there might be legal action against us as a group. And all I want to say, in general, from my perspective, for me, is fuck off. So, you know, we have the First Amendment right? We have the freedom of speech. We can literally do what we want to do in a podcast setting. We've made zero money from this podcast, and it's a historical investigation that's really cool. And if you're pissed off, you know, go kick rocks, bro. I wanted to say that here tonight because it kind of has to do with the theme of what we're talking about in terms of people and places and kind of feelings.
Yes. Of us are 100% about the history.
Yep.
Finding out the truth about the map, the body. We're not here to get rich. We're here to uncover truth. Yep. That's it. If I'm proven wrong that my theory is that he's really somewhere, he died somewhere else and he's in the ground. Okay. I'll eat that sandwich.
Absolutely. Me too.
But there's history here, and there's a lot of people who follow gangster here. Also, if the FBI screwed up and did something wrong,
the world needs to know it. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, if during this investigation we prove that John killed somebody, okay, so be it.
Yeah,
you know, that's history. It's the truth. I don't care how the truth comes out, as long as it comes out.
Well, I mean, I just know you as the most money hungry person I've ever met, Travis. So it's kind of funny that you. Travis is the least likely. In all seriousness, to everybody listening, Travis would be. I mean, he works his ass off as a wonderful father and husband. So we really are proud of our Travis buddy.
thanks.
Yeah, but you know, you getting money and you being out here to tell the story for money. I mean, literally, we've made no money on this. Like, literally,
it's going the other way.
Yeah, I've spent way more money on this shit.
No, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, people know the truth. I mean, if money comes our way, it happens. But that's not the driving force for this investigation.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and if anything, it's
just to continue, you know, doing the leads that we need to do, like you know fingerprint analysis, studying to see if the map has the hidden ink on it, those kind of things. Anything that we would get. That it's to further our investigation.
Yep, especially like traveling to some of these places on the map. I mean, stuff like this that needs to happen to really, you know, so we can have boots on the ground of an actual real investigation.
Yeah, and we have real stuff coming on. I mean, this is episode 19, episode 20. We're working on those cadaver dogs. We're literally working on. I think it's going to be October 12th. Is the date. That everybody can do it. The cadaver dog lady, we have someone from Nancy Grace coming from her network coming to do a podcast with us and with Mike and your dad. So things are happening.
Yes. But
to close that point of like, you know, overall is like, you know, if you got it, bring it, motherfuckers. So, I mean, like really come get me, come get us. Like, you know, we're not doing anything wrong. So, I hope maybe, you know, people hear that and understand where we're coming from.
Yeah. If I thought we were doing anything wrong that my grandmother would have slapped me for, I wouldn't be a part of it. Exactly. Making money off of this would have infuriated her.
Yeah.
So this is not what we're doing.
It's fun. This is just fun.
Yes. It's extremely fun. And I believe the public needs to know.
Why do people investigate JFK's assassination other than their name is Stewart and they're obsessed about. Stuart, plug that for our listeners too.
Well, there's nothing really to plug.
Never mind. Don't plug it.
It's an ongoing thing.
Stuart, I think John survived the 1934 killing and then assassinated JFK. I'm just saying.
But was never convicted of it.
Yeah. Never convicted of it, yes.
Yeah, it was actually Jack Ruby. Right, Jack and Johnny. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys, before we say goodnight?
Yeah.
No, but keep comments, good, bad, whatever. We want to hear them from you.
Yep.
So we know we're doing a good job or we're doing a bad job. You want to hear something different?
Yep.
Bring it. You know,
a trait that every investigator needs is to be open to other ideas and insights and, you know, never be closed-minded about it and entertain, you know, hey, a new viewpoint, a new perspective. So we love getting input like that. So don't think it's, you know, don't think it's silly or that, you know, we would laugh at that because we won't. We want to know. Sometimes someone will have an insight that just no one else thought of and it's boom, it could send us in a whole new direction.
If you have train routes from 1933, 34, Federal Reserve money transfer routes, anything like that would be very, very helpful.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're a train nerd, hit us up. No, this is great. Thanks, guys. And thank you guys for being here every week. This is great. We love doing it.
So. Thank you. Love it. Love doing it.
All right. Well, until next time, what do we always say?
Keep digging.
Keep digging.
Keep digging.
Keep digging.
The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time. Keep digging.